Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all. Welcome to the Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen.
I'm Prophetess McQueen.
Of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, and we are excited that you would join us today. There is definitely a word from the Lord. We're going to continue in Romans, the 12th chapter, and continue from there, because we have to bring this to the place where the Holy Spirit has really spurred and really impacted my spirit, and we got to bring some clarity to the body of Christ concerning a few things. But before we get into that, I want to actually get into the announcements. And Prophetess Crystal, the floor is yours. If you would give us our announcements and then lead us in our prayer, and we'll go from there. Prophetess Crystal.
God bless you, everybody. And once again, welcome to Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast, letting you know in the way of the announcements for this evening. Every Tuesday at 7, every Saturday at 10:30 a.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast with none other than Apostle Christopher McQueen and myself. On Thursdays at 7 p.m., join me for Prophetic Atmosphere, and you can hear us live at www.ctkr.org. That's also our website. We ask that you would visit that website, take some time to learn about us and about the ministry. Amen. And as you're doing that, amen, we ask that you pray about becoming a vision partner with Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, letting you know that we have sons and daughters, amen, that are doing a mighty great work, that are overseas, that also need your prayers and your financial support as well. And while you're on our website, just want to let you know that we do have a media page. We ask that you would visit our media page and hear powerful messages, amen, preached by both Apostle McQueen and myself. Amen. Guarantee that the Lord will bless your life once you hear those messages. And also, if you want to invite myself or Apostle McQueen to any one of your programs or your ministries or your church to speak, we have a contact page. Please leave your information, name of your church, your name, amen, phone number, and an email address, and someone will get in contact with you, amen, within 12 to 24 hours, amen. Also, letting you know that Christ the King Redemptive Ministries and Women of Prophetic Destiny has a Facebook page. Go to our pages, amen, like us there, leave your prayer requests, your praise reports, amen, let us know what God is doing in your lives, amen, amen. Now for the big news, the upcoming news. On October 18th and 19th, 2013, I am personally inviting you to join me for my Women of Prophetic Destinies Conference, Don't Abort Your Assignment. That's October 18th and 19th. It'll be right here at 213 Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, located in Cocoa, Florida. That's 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida. Services start at 6 p.m. for intercessory prayer, which we have co-pastor Catherine Montgomery. Immediately following, services will begin at 7 p.m. with the prayer brunch, amen, on Saturday at 10 a.m. We have powerful praise and worship. We have powerful minstrels and psalmists that will be coming through. We have First Lady Fabia Saunders that will be coming all the way from Sabrine, Florida. We have Mother Willie Mae Butts and yours truly and many others that are going to join us for this powerful time in the Lord. That's October 18th and 19th, 2013. You can go to our website to get more information on it as well. We invite you, I invite you personally, want you to join us there. Greater St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church, 213 Stone Street, Cocoa, Florida, October 18th and 19th. Look forward to seeing you there, man of God and woman of God. We're looking to have a wonderful time in the Lord. Amen. Those are the announcements, people of God. Now let's look to the Lord and let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this season. We thank you for the word of God that you're getting ready to release unto your people. Those that have an ear to hear, let us hear what the Spirit is saying unto the church. Now, God, we humble ourselves at your throne. We bow ourselves before you. Oh, God, we ask for forgiveness right now of all sin. Wash us clean in your blood. Cleanse our minds, our souls, our spirits. Cleanse our hands so that when we lift them up, they will be pure before you. When we open up our mouth, our praise and our worship will be sweet incense unto your nostrils. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify you. Now, Holy Spirit, we invite your presence in this place. We ask that you would just rest among your people, God, that as the man of God comes to minister your word, that you would just ignite it and set it on fire. Father, I'm asking that this word that is coming forth tonight will begin to change the very lives of your people that are hearing it. God, I'm asking right now that this word would be bringing comfort and it will bring a healing, God. I'm asking now that it will open up deaf ears, open up spiritual blind eyes in the name of Jesus. Be the answer that someone is seeking. Oh, God, that it will just push somebody into their destiny, God, that it will pull somebody out of the grip of the enemy in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We praise you now. We bless you, God, because you're taking us to a higher place in you. We magnify and we glorify your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
And amen. Thank you for the awesome prayer. We're so grateful that God would give us and has given us such a mighty woman of God who is in touch with the heart of God. Amen. As we go forward, I'm thank God for you and for the ability that he's given you to move the people of God and to change the atmosphere. Amen. As we get into this word tonight, I want you all to understand that God has some things for us that have been set for us before the foundations of the world. So it was predestined for us before the foundations of the world, Ephesians 1st chapter, as we begin to look at this. And there is a purpose to our Christendom. In other words, we're not just here to be part of the ecclesia. We're here with a purpose. And I think there's too many people just showing up saying that they're part of church, but have no idea of what your responsibility to the kingdom of God and to the body of Christ is. So you just show up, but you never allow him to show out through you. Amen. Because you're trying to keep control of everything. You don't want, well, you know, if it looks a little, I don't know. I don't know about that. I don't know about that. You know, we don't go but so far and then we stop because, you know, we don't want to get in the flesh. Listen, brother, sister, if you are out of control, then you're out of your mind. If you're out of your mind, then you're not in your mind, and you're out of the flesh. You see, you have gotten out of that in your worship. And what I'm saying to you is that you got to push a little further, and you got to dig a little deeper. You got to strive a little bit harder. You got to go a little bit higher. Because your praise from yesterday, your gratitude from yesterday can't take you into and through some of the things that we're entering into throughout the world and in the body of Christ now. So you need to come up to another level. Now, with that said, there's an opportunity for you to come and to share and to matriculate and to advance yourself and develop. Then you take the opportunity to do so because God is trying to do something with you. Too many people get too comfortable where they've been, and this is all we've ever needed to do, and that's where you stay in your comfort zone. But God is challenging us out of our comfort zones. He wants us to understand the grace that he's given us to complete the assignment that he's given to us. So regardless of whether or not you believe that you can do it or you're able to do it, God has already designed and purposed that you should, at this point in time, be born, live the life, go through the experiences that you have so that you can be trained, amen, so that you can go into your calling, your destiny. I found that it was very difficult for me to go through things prior to understanding that everything that I go through in life is not just about me. There are some things that I've gone through in life that had nothing to do with me. But down the road, as I got down the road and I ran into people in my Christian walk, as I began to minister to them, I saw why I had to go through that hardship, why I had to go through this difficulty, why I had to go through that process, why I had to deal with this situation. It wasn't just for me. It was for those that I would have to minister to. So that when I came to them, I would have the compassion of Christ. There's a reason why he came and experienced all things, even as we. It was so that when he would, when he began to mediate for us before the Father, he would have the experience of knowing what it was that we were facing. Amen? And it's that we have to look at. You're going through some things right now, and it's not for you to give up on God. Amen. It's not for you to give up on God. It's not for you to murmur and complain. It's for you to go through a process that will help make you, because there's a grace that God has for you that you have to be mature enough to carry and walk in. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's look at this. Romans 12:3. It says, "For I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." Amen. And how many of you know that your measure of faith is something that is given to you, but it is not the only thing that you have to work with? The measure of faith is like a seed given to you. Amen. Mm-hmm. And your faith has to be exercised. And as your faith is exercised and tried, it grows, it matures, it develops. Amen. So now what you have faith to do when you first got saved should not be the faith that you have 5-10 years from now. After 5 or 10 years, you should be able to believe God greater.
Yes.
You see that? You should be able to trust God more. You should have more faith in God. Amen. And so the measure of faith is given to you at a certain point, but that measure that you're given should also be exercised and worked. Amen. Because that measure doesn't end there, or else once you got it, then you wouldn't have to do anything else with it. Amen.
Amen.
For as many, look what it says, for as many have many, for we have many members in one body, but all members do not function the same. So you have to learn what it is that he's giving you in faith. What do you have the faith for? Amen.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain people who have to look at what God has given them and begin to work out their own soul salvation with fear and trembling, looking at what God has given them. Amen. Mm-hmm. There's some people who, and I always talk about Mother Gloria Dean Coleman. Mm-hmm. I don't have the faith to drive from Toledo, Ohio to Harlem, New York on one tank of gas with tires that are May Pops in a car that's too old to probably be on the road in the first place. But we would watch her have the faith and get on the road and drive that car, get there, out preach, out shout at everybody, and then get right back on the road and drive right back on one tank of gas in those tires that were bald. How she got around those curves in Pennsylvania and that and never went off the mountain is still, to me, a mystery. I just know that she trusted God at that level. But when you look at how long she had been saved, she had built her faith up to the level where she could get in the car. And regardless of what you say about needing gas, she said, this car will not stop until I get where I need to go.
Amen.
So we watched that. Amen. Faith matured. Faith developed. Amen. The full measure of your faith, amen, is what you have to work and walk with. Amen. It is where your grace comes to life. Amen. Grace given to me. You see that? So the measure of faith. You see that? Fifth verse. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Amen. Having then gifts differing according to the grace given to, that is given to us, let us use them. And then he goes on to say, if prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. You see that? Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. Huh? He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation. You see that? He who gives with liberality. Amen. And let me just stop right there. Let me pause right there a little bit. Because what happens is people have heard about giving liberally. Amen. And you have to understand that there are some people who can give and it's never going to be a problem to them. And then there's some people who struggle with the ability to give at the level that they want. Notice that the grace is given to you and it's a measure of faith that you walk in. Amen. So if your grace and your faith have problems there, then you may be able to look at this and say, well, you know, he didn't cause me to give. Well, listen, it's giving is not just in your monetary or your financial ability.
Right.
Amen. Sometimes it's your service to the Lord. I remember times when we were going through financial difficulties, yet and still we showed up at the house of the Lord. We drove the church van. We ministered praise and worship for the congregation, we played the music, we did everything that we needed to do because fiscally we couldn't sow where we wanted to. And I'm trying to encourage you right now because some of you feel that your ability to be accepted in the body of Christ is based on the dollar signs you bring with you, and the devil is a liar. Amen. When you come to the house of God, he's looking for a willing servant. Amen. He's looking for you to come in and you let him use you to bless somebody else. Sometimes that blessing that you sow into somebody else's life is a hug. Sometimes it's a God bless you. Ooh, love you, brother. Love you, sister. And when you receive that, the first thing that happens to you is you begin, those people begin to say, thank you. You don't know what I was going through. I needed that hug. I needed somebody to look past who the devil had been beating me down that I was and see who I really was inside. And when you came and gave me that hug, it broke some things on the inside. I believe I can go on. So when you think that your whole worth to the body of Christ is in the money that you bring, you lose the ability to be effective in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we don't have to pay for the lights. We don't have to take care of the rent. We don't have to pay the insurances and other things. No, I'm not saying that. We need to take care of those things too. But don't neglect, amen, the fellowship of yourself with others, amen. Forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. Come together, amen, because it is in strength of numbers that we are able to encourage each other to go on, amen? So when you give, your give
giving may be in monetary ability. Sometimes you have a skill set that will be a blessing to the body of Christ. Use that skill set to be a blessing to the body of Christ. And when you do so, don't give them part of what you can do. Give it liberally. Amen. You see that? He who leads with diligence. And I spoke of this last week as we were ending. He who leads with diligence. We are missing in the body of Christ those who have integrity and have character. People are promoting themselves. They're not trusting in God, so they're going to develop themselves and how they want people to see them. And the problem that we're running into is that people are developing what you want, what they want you to see of them, and trying to hide other parts of their lives. So when you begin to buy into that, and as we used to say, or as we say, drink the Kool-Aid, the first thing that you find out is after you have drunk the Kool-Aid, the flesh starts sticking out the sides of the mask. The facade begins to crumble. Huh? So now what you thought you were sewing into and you were signing on to begins to fall and fail. Now, the problem here is when you did that, you actually sold into the mindset, the image, the character of the person, but not into the body of Christ. Amen? So when the leader falls, you fail. I just want that to hit you just right. Think about it now. How many people have been hurt by church folk, and it really wasn't church folk. It was the leader that they have put so much time, energy, and faith into who ended up having a character flaw, who had integrity issues. Amen? So when that came to the forefront, people walked away talking about that's the church. Well, listen, if you were really connected to the church, then you would recognize and realize that this had nothing to do with the body of Christ as it did with individual development. Amen? Now, you have to understand what I'm saying here, because the whole issue that we see in the body of Christ a lot of times is that people have come in and believed in the man, believed in the woman of God, and have not allowed themselves to be developed. And that is partially their fault, but it's also the fault of the leader. Mm-hmm. Who refuse to develop them past themselves. Mm-hmm. Oh, this ain't going to be popular. Because there's a lot of leaders in leadership who want you to believe that, the people need to get God for themselves and I'm the point of contact for God. Well, listen, when they can't reach you in the midnight hour when the hellhounds are on their tail, when the demons are affecting them and running after them and trying to take them out. If you're not there, how do they survive? See, the strength of a good leader is that they train succession. You understand? When we train in succession, I'm training you to have the same skill set that I have. If I'm ministering and going into warfare, spiritual warfare, then when the enemy comes at you, then you know how to minister and go into spiritual warfare as well. Amen? And when I'm standing there and you call on me and you say, Apostle, I need you to stand with me in prayer. And I say, the Bible says that these signs shall follow them that believe. And I begin to tell them and show them in the Word of God where they have the authority to cast out devils and to lay hands on the sick, you know, and they shall be healed. That is the word that Jesus gave. Amen? Huh? So when he said, these signs shall follow them that believe, then I should believe myself as a believer that these work for me, not just from James, amen, the 5th chapter, the elders laying hands on you, but from Mark, the 15th chapter, you see that, or the 16th chapter, amen, the 17th verse down, that when I as a believer begin to trust in God for relief and release, that it works for me as well. See, you should be able to do exactly like you were designed to do, which goes back into who are you. If I'm a child of God, then I have to be developed with kingdom mindset. I have to have that heir mentality. That means that I'm not waiting on somebody to give me something everything is given to me already. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the God, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That means that as I am with Christ in the heavenly places, all spiritual blessings are already mine. Amen. And notice I said spiritual because people correlate that to the natural things that you want. Well, let me take you back to Matthew, the 6th chapter. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Before you get anything material, you got to get it first, spiritual. Amen. So that the things that you get don't deter you and move you away from God, but draw you closer to him. Mm-hmm. And these things shall be added. Huh? What does it say? It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. See, all these things deal with everything, reading those verses before that, that the Gentiles seek after and that the world seeks after these things. Huh? But seek him first, and all these things will be added to you. Your fiscal well-being, your security. You see, all of that will be given to you and added to you. The Bible says in the previous verse, it says that your Father knows that you have need of these things. So you're not coming in here seeking God, but starving. You see that? You're not coming in and doing all of those things and missing God for your blessing. Guess what? All spiritual blessings are given to you. But as you go through it, he begins to mature and develop your mind. So when you receive it, it doesn't drive you crazy. Amen? See, we have to understand what's going on. And as leaders, we need to lead with diligence. That means our character and our integrity has to be there. Ooh, Doc, did you see how many people we had on Sunday? Stop, you're counting people. See, in the Old Testament, when we look at the sin that David committed, he counted or did a census among the people. In other words, he was trying to see where his strength was instead of trusting in God. And God got wroth with them and started killing off folk. You see that? Mm-hmm. And today we have to look at the same thing. It's not in how many people show up to your door on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. It is what type of impact do you have in the kingdom? Because there'll be a lot of people showing up at a dead church because they're religious, and we always come here and they got a pretty good show. We can come in and feel good about ourselves that we showed up at a place called a church, but then there's places where there are kingdom impact. And in that kingdom impact church, you may have 50, 150, 200 people who come. But those people can stand on their own, prophesy, preach, do what they need to do. When the enemy come in, you know, I'm not messing with them because they didn't just show up to church. They had an experience with God. Huh? We know who we serve. We know why we're serving. You understand? And that's what we need to do. Look at your kingdom impact. What type of influence do you have in the kingdom? Now we know what your real impact in the kingdom is. Amen? Huh? So we have to make sure our character and everything is there. Now, you can't lead with diligence if you have to in your prayer and your Bible and everything else. If you refuse to develop yourself, you can only go as far and as high as you will go. Amen? See, before we started doing all the extra and getting into some of the other parts of ministry, Prophetess and I were the ones driving the buses and cleaning the toilets and everything else. We would show up to the church not so we could just be there, but we would show up so we could mop the floors and sweep the floors and use, what was that, Murphy's oil soap and everything and pledge to make sure everything looked good, smelled good. We was in there beautifying and working on the household of faith to make sure that it looked right. So anybody who came in could feel at home and know that we took time and energy in developing and maintaining what God has given us. Huh? And some people just, when they come to church, they come there looking, thinking that everybody should be serving them and they're waiting on you to cater. But we're not there to cater to you. We're there to worship. And your job is to come in and worship with us. And leaders need to, first of all, be the first worshiper in the house. The first praiser in the house should be the leadership. Amen? See, we got to get out of this show mentality and how deep and wonderful I am and really get back to demonstrating before the people the grace of God that's upon our life. What they see in worship Huh? It's because we have learned how to worship. Before anybody else hits their knees, they need to see us hit their knees. If anybody lays in the floor and lays prostrate before the king during worship, we as leaders should do it first. Huh? So as we're doing, then others can come in and do as well. See, as the head goes, the body goes. And when we're too proud to get down there because I robe and I just got my new suit and I just got, okay, wait a minute, everybody else just got their hair done too. But you want them to run around and fall out when you said 2-3 words. Guess what? Hit the floor and let the Holy Spirit work on you. Get your flesh out the way. Serve with diligence. You see that? Your character speaks of you. Amen? When you are in your pulpit, your character and your integrity holds a standard for anyone else who stands there. But if you have no integrity, anything can stand up behind your sacred desk and feel comfortable. Amen? Thank God for our spiritual mother who was raising us and took us and began to pound into us how serious this is. I remember when Bishop Locke turned and I preached the message, and she took her notes and took the message apart and told me, "You're an apostle. Don't you ever come up here unprepared again." Do you know that that lesson, years later, is still resonating in my spirit? Huh? See, when we go up there, if I had to stand behind that podium in the pulpit, I felt the pressure of the grace and the mantle that was upon her. You see? So when I came up and I was disconnected, she chastised me and reconnected me. And that lesson is what I carried from that. You see? So when she said, lead with diligence, preach with diligence, study with diligence, I can do so now because I learned the lesson. Amen? Huh? So she showed it, and then she brought me to a place where I had to demonstrate it, and today I carry the lesson of it. Amen? So here we go. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And let me say something here. You have to understand that when God gives you the ability to show mercy, that word mercy there, you have to understand, is what Christ had when he saw the people who came to him, the multitude. The Bible said that he saw them all, had compassion, and he healed them all. When you're showing mercy, you're trying to find ways to heal and bring peace. Not sigh, not put out, not show out. You understand? Because mercy is not something that is self-serving. I say it all the time. Jesus could see everything that they did, knew their lives, knew their hearts. You understand? And yet and still, the compassion he had for them didn't look at their circumstances based on, well, if you hadn't did this, then you wouldn't be there today. See, you can't show mercy and still incriminate and accuse and point the finger. Mercy is something that you show regardless of who you're showing it to. You see that? And you have to be happy about it. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. We don't see Jesus say, "Oh my goodness, here they come again. These old raggedy ratchet people up in here. Come on over here. Let me heal you because y'all getting on my nerves." See, when you go to someone and you need healing on the inside, we don't need to hear any of that thought process you have. We need to hear the grace of God in your life. Going back up, he says, through the grace, third verse, Romans 12:3, "For I say through the grace given to me." Some people need to stop operating in areas where you don't have a grace for it. Lord, that's going to preach. Because people are stepping into areas because there was a vacancy so you can have importance. But if you don't have a grace for that position, step down. You caused the trauma within the body. Lord help. Hallelujah. See, as we continue on, this is where I really want to go. As we begin to look at the ninth verse, we begin to look at the fact that we as the body of Christ, as Christians, we have a responsibility to act and behave as Christians. You see that? So in our churches, we should demonstrate to each other this ability first. And what we find is that there's so much infighting that when the sinner comes in for redemption and rejuvenation, when they come in to be redeemed, they see all of this infighting and spiritual politics and church positioning and everything else. And we lost the vision. We lost the assignment. God saved us for a reason. We are to the praise of his glory. That's why you are saved today. Predestined before the foundations of the world, huh? To be to the praise of his glory. Whose glory? The Father's glory. Everything that Jesus did because it brought glory to the Father. So our job as the children of God is to bring glory to the Father. But you can't bring glory to the Father when you're caught up in material and caught up in political and caught up in, you know, these fights and wars and other stuff that we have going on within the body of Christ. I ain't going to sit on that side of church because sister, what's her name over there? She know. Okay, stop. How can people come into the body of Christ and be healed? Well, you won't allow that to heal. How can we get to the place where God can use us when you won't allow him to use, be used in your development, in your healing? You see that? He's trying to bring you up to another level, but you refuse to go, holding on to the anchor of that feud, holding on to the anchor of that dislike. You see that? Oh, they do. I wish they would come over here. Listen, sometime they need to come over there. Better yet, you need to go over there. Get it right. Huh? The Bible says if you have an ought against your brother or your sister, you know, against your brother, leave your arm at the altar and go get it right. The model prayer, the Lord's prayer that we pray after we get to the very end in Matthew, the sixth chapter, you notice something that he doesn't go to anything else other than if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. It is the root of your Christian ability to be saved. If you don't forgive, you can't be forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Look at that. So we have to forgive others of the sins and the trespasses that they commit against us. And when we allow that to happen, then we'll see that there are some things that will happen within the body of Christ. We're looking right now at a revival because there's so much hurt going on. We have left our assignment. God is trying to get us back focused on the real, which is the souls. Huh? And as we begin to minister to the souls, we begin to minister to ourselves. I tell you, a fast and a prayer will reveal you first. Before you hit your knees and start praying for everybody in the government and all the rest of the stuff, see, we stopped praying political agendas a long time ago when we began to pray and ask God his will. He said, pray my will. As we pray his will, then he begins to change other things around. But he showed us first. You see that? And as he shows you, then you begin to change yourself. Your behavior begins to change. You begin to get healed. You begin to get delivered. You begin to mature. You begin to develop in certain areas. So now when it comes down to time for you to deal with certain other issues, your reaction to it, which causes another reaction, changes, and the reaction changes. You see that? God can use you when you allow him to use you. Look at this, John the fourth chapter. We see a woman at the well. Jesus is there waiting for her. And as she comes in, he says, give me a drink. And as they begin to have a dialogue between them, he begins to deal with the inner issues that she's dealing with. Then he reveals to her who he is. And as he does so, she leaves the water pot and goes to a community where her character has already been destroyed. She was a prostitute. She was nobody in a society. She was somebody to be used, abused, and discarded. You see that? And that's the person that Jesus used. Hello, somebody. I'm preaching to somebody right now because your self-worth has to come up to what God has called you to do. That woman went and got a community and brought them back. And they came back and saw who he was. The discovery of Christ was in the changing of something that they saw threw away after they had used it and abused it. Huh? And some of you are walking around saying, they won't hear me, they won't see me, I've never done good in my life. All my life I've had to be the black sheep. All of my life I've been the last one picked. All my life I haven't been the cutest one, I wasn't the thinnest one, I wasn't this. My self-esteem is torn down. But guess what, baby? God can use you there, because when you come out of that and he lifts you up, he beautifies to me. You see that? The beauty that they see in you is they remember who you were. But they see who you are. It's that commercial that I saw with the woman driving the black car going to her her school reunion, high school reunion, and they said, you know, the one that was overlooked, the one that wasn't paid attention to, has now become the one. Guess what? When you get into Christ and you let him use you, you become the one. Yeah, we remember that you was a nobody, but you're somebody. We remember that you had no skills, but now here you are walking, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. You were the one that nobody had faith in, but now here you are the one demonstrating the faith of God with the grace of God that he's placed upon your life. Why would he use you? He'll use you because he knows that once he does so, he won't have to fight and contend with you to get the glory out of you. You'll give it to him because you'll know it had nothing to do with you to begin with. Our character as Christians is tied to our ability to demonstrate and receive glory from all of creation and never keep it for ourselves, but give it to the Father, to the praise of his glory. You see this? And we got to be genuine in it. We have to be authentic in it. Look what it says here, Romans 12:9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. See, this is what we're supposed to be doing, huh? In honor, giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, huh? Continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Now, when we start talking about Christian character, the first thing that we have to see here is that a lot of these things are absent in the body of Christ. Go to your local church and sit for 5, 10, 15 minutes. Go there for a week or two and then watch how things transpire in the service. Somebody gets up and sings and you hear somebody say, I don't know why they took the mic. Wait a minute, how did that get into the household of faith? Greater than that, why is it comfortable in the household of faith? Someone reads the scripture and they can't read too well and they stumble on two or three words and people sitting there, why did they let them read? Okay, stop. Get out of your flesh and get into the spirit. Thank God that they couldn't read yesterday and they can read today. It may not be at your level, at your speed. They may not be able to articulate the words and pronounce them as you would. But thank God they can still get the word in them somehow. See, these are little victories for them. But they're great discouragement for others. Amen. And when you are loving, you stop looking at people in their face, telling them that you love them, but talking behind their back. Every time a conversation comes up, the first thing you should be doing is, if it doesn't glorify, uplift, uphold, then you should be shutting the conversation down. Huh? You can't come to me and talk about somebody and I be in agreement or disagreement with it, but I stay there. Because if I stay there in a conversation, then I'm agreeing to everything that's being said. So when I'm there and they begin to point out flaws, shortcomings, and issues, if I agree with it, then I stay there in that conversation. If I disagree with it, I'll be like, ooh, I don't know what y'all talking about. Hey, give me a call back later. I'll talk to y'all later. Because I'm not going to sit there and be a party to this. See, if they talk about other people with you, then when you're not with them, they talk about you too. And as soon as you hear that they talked about you, you feel hurt and betrayed. And guess what? They've already demonstrated that character to you. You see? So if I'm going to be a child of God, then I have to learn how to love. And not just love when I'm here, but love all times. One of the greatest testimonies that you can ever have in your life is when somebody comes and meets you and they say, I saw you at such and such a place, and you didn't see me, but I saw you, and you were doing X, Y, and Z, and I was just blessed because you didn't see me there to observe you, and I didn't come to observe you, but I happened to see you, and you were just the same here as you were there. You love God, and I just love seeing you minister, and you were sitting in a restaurant, and you shared something with the waitress, and they walked away with a smile, and that really blessed me. Listen. Who you are is who you are. And some of you are going from church to church trying to get away from yourself. How about you stop at the next church and let the Holy Spirit really work on you? Huh? Let him get some stuff out of you. See, the reason why we deal with hypocrisy in the body of Christ is because we're still trying to show people a false us that doesn't exist. And when we look at them, we see some things about ourselves that we try to cover up. So we talk about that thing. You see? See, when you throw off on other people, what you're really trying to do is cover your personal flaw. And in the body of Christ, when there's a flaw there, we're going through a process. And through the process, the Holy Spirit is helping us to make ourselves. He's removing some things, but he's putting some things inside of us. It's properly said in the scripture that iron sharpens iron. That means that when you come up against something that's as hard as you, it's not supposed to stay there as an unmovable force, but it's supposed to whittle down into something that can be used to cut the enemy. You understand? As it sharpens, you're now able to be used to take out something that the enemy tried to put as a hardship for somebody else. You now have the strength and density to break through and cut out. You understand? God is trying to work on us so that we can go forward and help the body of Christ. Look at this. Let love be without hypocrisy. I have to truly love. Abhor what is evil. Let me say something right there. When you go home and you turn on your television, is what's playing on TV something that you could play in the sanctuary at the church? Okay, stop. Because you waited too long. You stuttered too much. If what you are playing in your home television can't be played in church because of its content, then you need to stop watching it in your home. Amen? Because in your home is where you dwell. And if you're in the home dealing with it and it's evil and it's not godly, then that means that you carry that spirit with you, and that's the spirit that you start to manifest. So you come to church and you heebobble shy and run around and sing your song and fall out. They got a fan, you bring you water, smelling salt, and all the rest of that. Then you go home with the housewives and all these other MTV and BT stations and watching all this fornication and craziness. And you start looking for that type of life because art emulates life. So we begin to emulate our life after the art. So here you are looking for somebody who, I saw this on TV. Stop. Get off that television like that. Amen? If that's causing you to look at people and you can't see nobody straight, then you need to get that out of your spirit, because God called us to walk an integral life. Huh? And if we're walking that life, then that means that there should be no evil sitting up in me. I shouldn't have a desire to TiVo the housewives or whatever to see who's cussing who out, who's sleeping with whose husband, who's doing this, that, and other. See, when your appetite is after those things, you have to have a real heart-to-heart talk with yourself. Why is this so appealing to me? Huh? Okay, well, you said that's not a problem. Okay, well, make a pornography. Huh? Well, are you watching and looking at stuff that you know you couldn't show at church? You can't look at the brother and sister in church in love for looking and trying to figure out how they would look or how you would do something or how you would perform. See, that's the problem. The Bible says here, it says, abhor what is evil. You can't abhor it and then try to sit back and take it in. See, you take that stuff into your spirit and it should make you spiritually sick. You should be able to regurgitate that. Just like eating something bad, trying to get it down, it ain't going to stay down because it's not meant to be in here in the first place. So when you take it in, that evil that you're doing, huh, that you're taking in should make you sick. Now look at this. If you keep taking it in, you learn to build up a tolerance to it. You see that? And then pretty soon, when you come up against something that should be a red flag as not being godly, you start to make excuses for its existence. Listen, the Bible tells us that we're supposed to cast out devils, not sit down and try to have conference with them, not to understand their point of view. I'm not sitting here trying to understand the point of view of a demon trying to take my soul. My job is to cast him out. That's it. You see that? So I can't sit there and have a taste for him and abhor him too. You got to make a choice here. Amen? How do I abhor what is evil? Well, look at the next sentence. It says, cling to what is good. See, all of us have experienced that friend that came around us when we were trying to do our little dirt that didn't quite go along with the plan, and we tried to do our stuff around them. Why didn't you do it around little Tommy? Because Tommy, dude, every time we try to do something, he always get us caught, or he always go tell on us. Guess what? You need to be around little Tommy's more often, because Tommy will help you to stay out of some mess you should have never been in. When you were a child, you talked about the tattletale, but now that you've grown, you understand the power of accountability. We call them prayer partners now, huh? You call them accountability partners now. You need to have somebody around you that will help you every time that you get low, got a hallelujah, got a laugh when you help you come up to the next level. Girl, we're going to make it, man. We're going to make it. Don't worry about that. We have been through worse. Listen, if you allow this to get on you, look at what God has done for you already. They need to be able to remind you of your testimony of what God has done for you. That's why you cling to what is good, because with that being, with you clinging to what is good, what is evil has a hard time approaching and feeling comfortable around you. You see that? But we have been trying to be slick. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We have been looking at worldly things and desiring them, so we start getting away from what's good. See, we know what's happening when we start seeing members and saints disappear from church for a period of time, and then they come back, and the first thing they do is come to the altar so that they can be renewed, because I just need the Lord to do something for me. Well, listen, before you got away from church, the Holy Spirit was already telling you, don't do it. Don't go. Stay here. You need to dig in deeper. Ooh, I need a break. Stop. That break is your excuse to get away from the fire so you can get cold enough to go around the stuff that you know the fire would burn up. We have to make sure that we cling to what is good. Let's go on and finish this out. Be highly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. That means if I'm being affectionate to you, I'm not trying to bed you down because you're cute. Amen? I'm not trying to come around you because, you know, you look good to me. You see? We can be affectionate without being carnal.
Right.
Let me say this again. We can be affectionate without being carnal. Huh? And I can be affectionate without being homophobic or anything like that. You see? Just because I see my brother and we give a hug, you know, don't mean that I'm trying to find a way to, no. It means that I'm sharing love. Listen, you have to understand the power of a hug. There are people who go through life and never experience anything like that. And when they come up to someone who is genuine, a saint, a Christian who loves for real, when you hug somebody, what you're doing is you're breaking everything that is inside of them, because a hug returns the hug. Which means that in order for me to return a hug, I have to break down what was built up. You see that? And return it. And now some ministering can go back and forth, heart to heart, breath to breath. You see that? See, we have to understand that all of this stuff here that's in the Bible that he's speaking of, behaving like a Christian, has not only physical, amen, but it has spiritual. You see that? So be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. There's places where I've gone, and because of their denomination or the Reformation, they don't say apostle. They'll say minister. They'll say reverend. They'll say pastor. They'll say anything other than apostle. Now, if I have a chip on my shoulder, then I'll sit back and go, you didn't call me. Well, guess what? I'm brother first. So if you call me Brother McQueen, God bless you, I'm still Brother McQueen. You see what I'm saying? We have to learn how to walk. Huh? Giving honor, giving preference, in honor, giving preference to one another. I give you all of that, you know, because, hey, I want you to grow. And when you ask me, what's an apostle? Now I can explain to you what an apostle is, but I come humbly so that you understand that those apostles who serve, amen, we serve from a low position, but we have high authority. You understand? Jesus girded up his loins, the chief apostle, girded up his loins, got his picture and his face and got on his knees and served. You see that? So just because my title is apostle doesn't mean that I have to be catered to and carried around on the shoulders of men and everything else. No, God didn't call me to that. He called me to demonstrate the power of the kingdom in servanthood. You see that? So I give honor and preference to one another because I don't want anything to hinder you in your spiritual growth. Amen? Look at that. Not lagging in diligence. That means that I can't get tired and sit back. Fervent in spirit. You see, when we are moving forward, we're trying to get people to catch on fire. I shared with a young lady today. I said, you have to understand something. When you have a real genuine experience with God, then when you come back, first thing you're looking for, amen, is that experience. Again, am I right? The first time that the Spirit of God moves upon you and you get back to church, you try to get right back to that Spirit of God moving upon you. See, when it just becomes a symbolic thing that you did to get saved, then you didn't have the transformation experience. So that you don't know that there's something greater than just coming up because you had an emotional movement. An experience is something that sticks with you. Amen? We would go to service, and as we would get done with service, we would sit up there and praise God, and then we had to drive home from Detroit back to Toledo. Toledo, which is about 50 miles away. So when we got back, on the way back, if somebody simply said hallelujah, it felt like we were right back there. See, because that was an experience. It was an emotional thing. It was a spiritual thing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Bless your name. And we have to go deeper now. My wife has been, she's set up for her Woman of Prophetic Destiny conference that'll be coming. And you talk about an experience. We're not just coming for a conference to sit back and talk about things and to become educated and become articulate in a certain thing. We're actually coming to have an experience before God because that experience will last. The lesson that the Holy Spirit can teach you in that time will be greater than what you could get sitting in a semester full of classes. Amen? See, I can talk to you enough, but then you have to have an experience. Jesus was talking to the disciples in parables, and then he got to a certain place where he said, you know, I've spoken enough. Let us go over to the other side. And as they went over to the other side, en route, the lesson was brought to application. You see that? And that's what God is trying to do for us. We've heard enough, seen enough. Now he's trying to get us to a place where we can be fervent in spirit, loving each other, walking forward, and behaving like Christians. Listen, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Learn more about us. Become a vision partner. See about coming to the Woman of Prophetic Destiny conference. I want you to be there. You want to be there, trust me. Amen. Come on, let's pray. Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this time. I thank you because you have given us what we need to have. Now, Lord, even as we're going forward dealing with this subject, help us to understand our positioning, our time, and our placement. We're here, amen, for your glory, for the grace of your glory. We're to demonstrate it throughout the world. That is our job. We are your children. We're supposed to represent you in the earth. Help us now to understand the weight of that and to walk according to your precepts for our lives, your plan, your will, your purpose. In the name of Jesus, we pray. I pray right now, Lord, that if there's someone who's not saved, that they will pray this prayer. Father, forgive me of my sin. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Thank you, Father, for salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, if they prayed that prayer, I pray that you would lead them to a Bible teaching, a Bible believing church where they may be matured and developed and go on to do the work that you've called them to do in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for every miracle, every sign, every wonder, every healing. We thank you for everything that you're doing for us, and we will give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And amen. Listen, I'm excited about what God is doing and what God is going to do in your life. As I said, go to our website, www.ctkr.org. Become a vision partner with us. Help us to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. I'm Apostle Christopher McQueen,
Prophetess McQueen
of Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, reminding you that it's God's will for you to live this kingdom lifestyle. Be blessed in the name of the Lord.